Amen. God is good. Amen. And welcome again to Christ Community Church. It's Michael Rodriguez, lead pastor here. Somebody hit me up right now and say, hey, did you forget to pay the AC bill? That is no. We actually just paid it this week. So I'm not sure what's going on. But again, just be reminded, it's a little warm. I know it's uncomfortable. But the good is, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, we're not going to somewhere where it's really hot, okay? That's salvation, amen? So we're not going to preach on Revelation in heaven today, but today's message is called Graduating in Faith. Graduating in Faith. You guys know it's June, so June is normally what? It's graduation season, right? You've got graduations, you go to the little kindergarten graduation. Remember those? Oh, you have kids. You remember when the kids go to the kindergarten? Isn't that the best? I would go to a kinder graduation all day over like a high school graduation. And, you know, even I feel a sense of pride over our family when they, certainly when they graduate from university and, you know, go on to get advanced degrees like Jasmine, you know. We always say her tagline was, it's chingona with a diploma. I like that. That was kind of, but honestly, even that, the kinder graduation is, there's something special about it. The kids dancing, they usually have the little cap and gown. Sometimes it depends on the budget of the school. Sometimes the paper cap, right, flying around, they're dancing, have a good time. And so, yeah, it's natural, you know, in our academic life that we should have progression, that we meet milestones. But as we grow, right, the things that we did when we were in kindergarten, we have to change it up a little bit, right? Because what you did in kinder doesn't necessarily work when you're in elementary school, right? You got to learn and adapt, and pretty soon the kids get into, you know, middle school or junior high, as it used to be called back in the day, and then they're just too cool, right? They just know everything. Yeah, they know everything. They start talking these weird languages. Why don't you talk English to me? What are you trying to say to me? They come up with these new words, and even then that. They change in that season, right? Academically, you have to change. It's a different rigor. Even socially, it's different, right? Because the things they used to do when you're in kinder, you can't do anymore because people think you're lame or you're so not. The kids don't even say cool anymore. Huh? That's how old I am. What's the word when you want to say that you're, let me talk to these guys over here. Radical? That's from the 80s. I'm not that old. I've never heard anybody say radical anymore, but thank you. I'm not falling for that, Matthew. Huh? It's fire now? It's fire? Okay. So even then, you have to change your style, right, a little bit because you want to fit in. And you're graduating and growing. And even physically, you're growing, right? And how about when you get to high school? You guys remember your high school years? How many of you guys want to forget your high school years? It's okay, too. It's like, you know, it was kind of a trying time. And some of you guys are in high school right now. And you guys know what that's like. I can imagine what it was like. High school was kind of tough when we were going to school. But now it's like there's so much more pressure and access and social media and different things that you have to measure up against, right? So we got to keep praying for our kids, okay? Because we got to keep praying for our kids. The enemy is a liar and we'll try to break them down. So it's a very tough time to grow up in. And then if you graduate high school, you guys remember that? And then you go on, and you went on to college. You know, you went on to community college, or you know, a state college, or a UC system, whatever. Right? Everything what worked you're in high school doesn't work in college. Right? You got to relearn certain things. Like, what, people don't care if you come to class? No, they don't. You got to do it on your own. Right? And so we know that academically, I'm just using that example, that we're called as just as people to adapt, to change, and to grow, right? Now, today's service, you guys probably caught wind of it, is how God is calling us to graduate in faith, right? Now, that doesn't mean that you're like going to get everybody can have a PhD, like my brother who we were talking about in the back. You can pray hard daily, right? You don't have to have a degree. God's not interested in your accolades and the little letters behind your name. Right, he loves you just as you are, right? So you are already qualified. Amen? He loves you just as you are. But he does want us to grow in our walk. It's not enough to say like, hey, I know Jesus. I'm saved. Praise God. We should all say, I'm saved. Praise God, right? But he doesn't want me to stay there. That's not enough. It's like I punch my ticket and now what? Do I just stay there? No. God is wanting us to graduate in our faith, right? So one of the things that we're going to learn about here is we're going to be spending some time in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses, and we're going to be reading through chapter 6 all the way through verse 12. Okay, so we're going to read that whole chunk together, and then we're going to come back and we're going to break it down. Because what do we say? We want to gossip the gospel, right? Right, sister in the back? If we must gossip, let it be about Jesus, right? Not about anything else. I didn't say any names, by the way. I said sister in the back. It could have been anybody sitting back there. Hebrews chapter 5. You guys there? Verse 11. And let's read. It says, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." It says, "Therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, laying on the hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word and the power of the coming of the age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting him to public disgrace. The land that drinks in the rain and often falls on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced that better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Amen? All right. So, we always talk about the context of that passage. That's a big old piece of steak. I don't know if you guys know that. Whenever you read in the book of Hebrews, that's like a tomahawk steak. There's so much in there that we have to break it down. And we always say, let's start off with, right? Who's the book of Hebrews written to? Right? It's written to the early church. And a lot of folks that had been converted, and they were actually starting to backslide a little bit, right? Because you guys, we know what about the Jewish people. They're very religious, like super religious. And what you start to see is that, and I'm not going to give you guys a whole summary of the book of Hebrews, but just at a high level, you know, oftentimes you go back and people will argue now, who even wrote the book of Hebrews? Now, when the Bible was put together in the canon, at that time was discerned or decided that Paul was the author. There's still some back and forth about who actually wrote it. Maybe it was Apollos, right? Maybe it was Luke, because of the writing styles are a bit different than what you see in the other epistles. So that's, you know, I always say, sometimes I start driving the car and I get like, get us back where we're going, Pastor. We're going there. So the book of Hebrews has a lot of information in it. At a high level, what it's doing is reaffirming that Jesus Christ is the one who saves, right? It's not by religion that you're being saved. And then what it's driving us back into, right, is to say that, yes, you're saved by salvation, but he doesn't want you to stay there, right? And how do we know that? Because the first point that we're going to be covering is that God wants us to grow beyond the basics and our faith to mature. Number one, God wants us to grow beyond the basics and our faith to mature. And where do we see that? So if we look at verse 12, it says, right? In fact, that through this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Does that make sense? How many of you guys have like a little baby around the house? Families, or maybe you recall when you had a baby at home. Aren't they the best? Right? They're the best. Like when you just love on a baby and they're asleep and you're just like, yeah, they cry and they have colic and they throw up on you and sometimes they poop on you, but they're still the best. Right? Because it's a sacrificial love. I said, that's the closest thing that we're going to understand about what our Heavenly Father feels like, right? Because we know what it means to love unconditionally. That came out wrong. When Ethan was first born, I would look at Stephanie and she would look at me, and I would tell her, I said, you know what? I love you. Like, you're my wife, but I love Ethan differently. And she would say, I know. Because she was thinking the same thing, right? It's different. And so when we have a baby like that, they're so precious, right? And one of my favorite things is to feed the kids. Yeah, isn't that awesome? You watch them feed, you feel good about it, right? And that's natural. That's what Paul is writing about. It's like, listen, when you were young, you needed somebody to feed you little milk, right? That's a good thing. But as you get older, you need to progress on to more solid foods, right? How many of you guys, like when I used to like to feed the kids because I always like to taste the banana one, the Gerber. You guys like that one? You do. Don't lie. The sweet potato. If you're like me, it doesn't matter what. I'm going to try some too, you know? Or they didn't finish it. I finish it. It's okay. That's why I can't lose any weight, because it's like I'm the garbage disposal. Everything the kids leave behind. You want that pizza? When they were kids, baby food, now it's pizza. Half-eaten corn dog, whatever. Right? It's dad problems. But going back to, that's right. But going back to today's message, right, when we see that in a natural progression in life, yes, it's normal for a baby to drink from a bottle, right? So, Stephen, throw up a couple of those pictures that I put on those cute little babies over there. Look at this baby. Oh, right? This baby is old enough to have her own bottle. The next one, right? Let's look at that next little baby. It's right underneath it. The next baby. There you go. That look good to you guys? That's not natural, right? I was joking, the next baby. That's not a baby, right? But this is what Paul is saying. He's almost saying it's like comical. There's a little bit of comic, there's a little bit of like insult in there, right? If you don't catch it. Oftentimes, if you're reading through the gospel or you're reading through the New Testament or Old Testament, you don't visualize what he's talking about. So when he's going through and you read this, right? If you read verse 12 again, it says, some of you should be teachers, but you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God all over again. You need milk, not solid food. That's what he's talking about. He says, you're a grown man or a grown woman, but this is you spiritually. Let's go back to this is you. You need somebody to bottle feed you the word, right? There it is. Look at that. That's not right. That's a big old dude right there. That's awkward on a lot of different levels, right? Now, if we're honest, listen, this is different, right, from when you were first saved by Jesus Christ, right? It's different. Because when you first got saved, you didn't know anything, yes? I'll tell you myself, I got saved when I was 30 years old, and I was like, man, I still had a little bit of hair back then, but I got saved when I was 30. I considered that kind of a little older. Now it's young. Now I talked to somebody who's 30. I'm 45 now. I talked to somebody who's, oh, you're so young. Got your whole life ahead of you. Just wait till you have no hair like me. But when I first came to the Lord, right, I didn't know anything. I was, I would say, successful, and I had accomplished a lot of different things outside, like non-spiritual things. I had did the other thing, right, that we were talking about earlier. You graduate, diploma, work, and do all that kind of stuff. I was married, I was doing a bit, but when it came to spiritual things, I was very much a baby. But I didn't stay that way, man. I didn't stay that way. Because when I got saved, I'll be honest with you, I thought it was just one, the Bible, I thought that's just one big fat book. Who has time to read that, right? I didn't know it was written over 1,500 years. I didn't know there was 40 authors. I didn't know there were 66 different books. I couldn't even navigate the Bible. I remember being in church and they'll say, turn to Romans. And everybody, all the professional Christians are like, ready, amen. And I'm over here in the front, all embarrassed. This is a true story. I'm in the front because I'm like, I don't want nobody to see that. I don't know where that is. I was like, where is that at? In the front, nobody look. Oh, page 993. That was me, right? But guess what? I didn't stay there, right? And that's what Paul's reminding us in today's passage is that God wants us to grow beyond the basics and into full maturity. Yes, you've been saved, man, praise God. But that's the beginning. That's not where God wants to leave you, right? Number two, one of the things that we can take from this passage is that God commands us to move forward and with a purpose. God commands us to move forward and with a purpose. And we see that in verses in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, let us move beyond, right, the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken into full maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance and that to death and faith in God and instruction about cleansing rites and laying of the hands and resurrection of the Lord and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so, right? So that's very clear. He's like, listen, I need you to move on from the basics. You move on from the basics. Now, what are the basics for us? You show up to church on Sunday. Yeah, that's good. Right? That's great. But it's not enough. It's not enough. You go to Bible study. That's great. I would say sometimes going to Bible study is even more effective than coming to church on Sunday. Why? Because this is a one-way conversation usually, right? And then when you're in Bible study, you have the opportunity to get into the Word, ask questions, say, I don't understand that. Let's take a look. Some people will have a different life application Bible. Some people will pull out their Enduring Word app, which I highly recommend. You've heard me say this before. The Enduring Word app. Awesome resource, right? And so Bible study is important, but that's also not enough, right? How about your own quiet time? How about your devotion? What are you doing to grow and mature in Christ? And here's the other thing, right? Well, Paul is saying, what's the greatest level of learning that you can achieve? How do you know that? You become a master of something when you start to do what? Anybody? There's a few of you guys that you guys work in this field. We're on a campus that's dedicated to this activity. Teaching. Teaching, right? Because it's not enough for you to be just to soak in. And I call it, you know what I call it? I call it spiritual obesity. I love to eat God's word all day. Give me a steak. Give me a carne asada with a little bit of God's word in it. Let me have a torta of that. Book of Romans. That's good, right? A little bit of John over here. Put some on that pizza. That's good. It's good for the soul, right? But then I just start to consume the word all day long, right? And then guess what happens to me? I get spiritually obese. You know what that means? I got to put that word to work. I got to teach somebody else. Because then once I become like, you get your head knowledge is, you know a lot about God, right? But do you really know God? So there's some people that Jesus spoke very harshly to in the New Testament. Who were they? They're the Pharisees, right? And I just challenge you guys. I don't think that any one of us in here is going to memorize the first five books of the Bible. None of us will. That's what it took to become a Pharisee. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having to memorize the book Genesis, Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus? No, there's no way. They knew a lot about God. But what did Jesus have to say to them? He said, man, you're brood of vipers. You're like an empty grave, right? And so here's what I'm saying. It's not enough for us to consume it. Yes, but now you got to put it into work. And what Paul is saying in this verse, he's like, you need to be doing something else now. You need to be doing what? Teaching. You need to be instructing and guiding. So some of us that are parents here in the room, guess what? We don't have a free, get out a free card from this one. Yeah, we have children's ministry that will come and we'll do next gen stuff. And that's on Sunday and on Wednesdays, right? Maybe twice a month now. But who has the biggest impact and opportunity to teach those kids, to raise them up in the ways of the Lord? Mom and dad, you better believe it, right? You better believe it. And here's the thing. It's not enough just to be in the Word, but you got to live it out, mom and dad. You got to live it out. Because who knows you best? Better than anybody who knows you best. It's your kids, right? Your kids know you, right? And they'll keep you honest, right? They know you best. I'm just saying. So we don't have an opportunity to say, like, listen, to walk the Christian walk, to be a mature Christian, doesn't mean that when I go to church or when I go to Bible study, I put on my Jesus jacket, right? Oh, yeah. Hey, Pastor. God bless you, sister. Oh, praise God. You're looking good, sister. Oh, praise God. I'm going to pray for you, sister. And then you get in the car, somebody cuts you off, and beep, bada beep, bada boop, bada boop, 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 boop. And who hears all that? Your kids do, right? So I'm just saying, like, we got to live it out. We don't, that's not very mature, right? I'm just being honest with you. The fruit of the Spirit needs to be lived out, right? We need to see that in our lives. And so God is calling us not just to stay babies, but to say, man, I need you to grow into maturity. Because don't you know people in your life that they're still kind of living for 15 years ago? They're still living for 20 years ago, reliving some highlights. And I was saying, like, man, that was cool. You run into them and they want to talk about some. And that's fine. It's important that we, but let's live for right now. What is God doing in our life right now? What does he want to do? Because I live that part. I want to be part of God's plan right now. Right? And so God is calling us and inviting us into maturity with him. And he wants us to move forward with purpose. With purpose, right? This is one of the things, like, my dad would always teach us, Amala. He would always say, man, when you do something, you better do it with purpose. You better do, if you're picking oranges, remember this? He would say, I don't want you to be picking like this. He says, I want you to be moving fast. I want you to, when the mayordomo comes by, that branches are flying out, right? I want it to be loud, like you're working hard, right? Moving with purpose, with impact. I don't know about you guys, but do you want to go back? And I said, listen, our life is very short. What does James say about our life? It's but what? A vapor, right? I don't know about you guys, right? But I don't want to live my life when people come to my funeral and they start saying all kinds of lies. You ever know that? He was so kind. He was the best. Like, you know what I mean? You may have been to a funeral like that where it's like, are you talking about the same guy? Same gal? She was mean. Like, she was miserable all the time. I want people to say truthful things, right, about me. But here's where I'm going with it, right? God wants us to make an impact and to have purpose for the kingdom, for the things that really matter. At the end of the day, nobody's going to remember the kind of car that you drove. Nobody's going to remember where you worked. Nobody's going to care what your house looked like. Nobody's going to care how many degrees you have on the wall, because none of that matters in the kingdom of God, right? None of that matters in the kingdom of God. But Paul, in his other writings, say, look above to the things of God. Have maturity in those things, because those things matter. And oftentimes we live in the culture that we live in, we're so distracted by material things and by the things that we see on TV and things that we see on our phone. And at the end of the day, those things have very little eternal value in the kingdom. So God is calling us to maturity, right? He's inviting us to be a part of his team so we can move forward with a purpose beyond even the elementary things that we're talking about. And they were talking about, and again, this is written to the Jewish people. They were talking about salvation and resurrection. And they were talking about spiritual cleansing, right? God is asking us to do more. Number three, And this is a big one here, because this one comes with a huge, you know, God's word is awesome. Amen. Let me say that again. God's word is awesome. Amen. Amen. Because it comes with correction. It comes with teaching, but it also comes with warnings, right? Warnings. Like when you're driving in the mountains and you see the little sign that it says the turn is coming. If you go too fast, your car is sideways. You see that one? Does that mean go faster? I mean, slow down, right? It says don't be a dummy. There's warnings in life. And this particular passage we're going to read is a huge warning. Let's read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, "It is impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness and the word of God and the power and the coming of age, who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace." That's a warning. It's saying, listen, don't go back to your old ways. You can't, you might be a baby when you first got saved, but you can't keep repeating those things and expect, like, you guys have heard my testimony before. Before I became a Christian, I was a Catholic. I was a bad one, okay? I don't ever say, like, model my life as a Catholic. I wasn't a good one. My motto when I was a Catholic is, it's okay for me. I can't cuss in the church, but I can cuss in the parking lot. That was my motto. And it was, my motto was like, it doesn't matter what I do Monday through Saturday because I'm just going to go and ask for forgiveness, right? And that type of living looks like? I call myself I'm religious, I'm going to this thing, but I wasn't allowing anything of God to work in my heart. Does that make sense? And so what he was saying is like, listen, if you're going to be living like that, essentially, it's like, how many times did Jesus have to die for the forgiveness of your sin? You put him on the cross all the time? No. Because I wasn't really what? I wasn't really repentant. I wasn't. And so God is asking us what? He doesn't want us to be stagnant. Because when you're stagnant in your walk, that's a very dangerous place to be. Can you move still? I use this analogy, right? We just took some pictures for Lily's Quince over by the Ridley Beach area. And the guy from Tulare, our photographer, he's like, oh, there's really a beach here. I didn't know that. I said, oh, yeah, man, Ridley's got it going on. We got the beach. You got to come hang out over here. But listen, your walk with Jesus and your walk with Christ is like getting in the river. How many of you guys have ever gotten in the river? It's cold, huh? What else do you feel when you step in the river? The current, right? The current. What do you feel, Matthew? You feel mud? Okay, yeah, mudding. Physically on your toes, yes. It feels good, huh? That's a good feeling. No, but when it's coming, what do you feel? The current. If you just think you're going to stand there, what do you think's going to happen? You're going to get tired. You're going to slip. There's a lot of rocks there. You're not going to stay there is what I'm trying to say. Over time, the current's going to start to do what? It's going to start to take you away, right? And oftentimes we undermine how strong the current is, don't we? That's like sin in our life. You think you're just going to stand there, oh, I'll be okay. And before you knew it, that the current has you, right? Before you know you're tossed underneath the current, you're caught up in the branches. You can't stay there. It's the same in your walk. If you're going to stay stagnant, you think that you're so awesome. You are awesome, by the way. You're so awesome in all your goodness. I'm just going to stay here. And I'm just the enemy and all his attacks and all the current and all the whole world and all the culture. I can withstand it. I'm good. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself, right? Because when you're stagnant in your walk, guess what happens? You get comfortable. And what happens when you get comfortable? Anybody? Get lazy, right? You get lazy. That's like when my alarm goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning every day. I'm all comfortable in my blanket. It's time to work out. I'm comfortable. I don't want to work out. I'm still working on that. Still working on the Jesus Fit ministry. See my wife, too? She's like, yeah. Yeah. She works out every day, by the way. She's, keep praying for me. I need to get physically fit. We don't want to become stagnant. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to become stagnant. Because when, for example, using the water analogy a lot, sometimes when you go through and you see a little bit of the river carved out to an area where the water is stagnant, what do you see with that water? It starts to get murky, right? It starts to get moldy. All kinds of funky stuff there. The old tire boots there. It's like a little swamp there. That's what we want in our walk, right? We want the living water to flow through us. Right? We want the living water to flow through us, and we can bring life to the people around us. There's some people that you know, right? They have a little stagnation. Whenever you're around, it's like, oh man, it's a bad attitude, mad all the time, bitter all the time. Every time around them, it's just negativity. You want to be around those people? No. No, we need to be the people that are giving life where Jesus is working through us. And number four, and this is an amazing promise God has for us. God has more for you. So we need to keep going and we need to keep growing. G&G. You keep going and keep growing. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we're convinced of better things in your case. The things that have to do with salvation. Amen? God is not unjust. He won't forget your work and the love that you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that when you hope, so for what you hope may be fully realized. Amen? Man, that's a promise. He says, keep going. Don't give up. God wants you to grow and do more, right? Listen, when you devote yourself to what God is fully, to the role that God has given you, I'm not talking about you have to have a ministry position or anything like that. We're not even talking about that. You are called to do God's kingdom work where you are, with the people around you, at work, with your family, right? Yeah, there's room here on the team, of course, right? But God is calling you to do kingdom work locally. And when you commit to that and do it faithfully, you're going to grow. You will. You know why? Because God is looking for willing people. Wherever there's a movement of God, is there somebody that's saying yes to Jesus? And it could be a movement of God within your family. It could be a movement of God within your friends. It could be a movement of God within your community. But you have to say yes to Jesus. And if He's calling you to do something like start a Bible study, right? Like last week, Brother Henry hit me up and he put it out on the men's group. He says, I want to start a group for men, right? Bible study, Thursday nights. Men, right? You want to get encouraged? Open invite. Show up to Brother Henry's house. He told me we can just show up anytime. The fridge is stocked full of food. Sister Rachel says she has a big old pantry full of all kinds of goodies. Right? Amen. I'm not lying. See? I'm not lying. So men, you want a place where you can talk, man talk about some stuff, right? Be encouraged in the Word. Brother Henry, right? Start it up. Thank you. Thank you for saying yes. All right, God put it in his heart. We met this week and we're talking about what are some other areas and opportunities that we need to have. Like, do we need to have a women's group? Yeah, why not? There's a coffee hour and that's good too, but hey, there's we need to do more. Because guess what? Man, the world that we live in is fallen. And we need to be encouraged and we need to create opportunities so we can minister to each other and care about each other and pray for one another, right? And we can invite. Because sometimes getting people to here, right, to all the way to Sanger is kind of far. You have people that you know that they're in Reedley, they're in Fresno, they're in Sanger, they're in Dinuba, wherever you are, right? But God is wanting us to advance His kingdom and He wants us to keep going. He wants us to graduate. And He wants us to move away from the milk. I don't know about you guys, but man, I want to be sitting down with Jesus eating the steak. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus, let me have another tomahawk. Got it. Right? Yeah. I don't want Jesus to be giving me a little teta. Like, here, Jesus. Here you go. What's that? I don't want to be that guy. Imagine. Jesus is over here. Here you go. What's that about? No, I want to be caught into his presence and for him to say, you know what? Well done, good and faithful servant, right? You grew. And here's the thing about this, guys, and I always keep saying this. It is not about the activity that you do. It's not about the works. But God is a God who is faithful. He's not going to disappoint. And when you dive in deeper into your relationship with God, guess what? You're going to find him. Jeremiah, right, tells us, right, that you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So that means, you know what? You might have some distractions in your life. You might have to go back and say, hey, let me take inventory of what's keeping me on the bottle. Right? Some of you have to go back and ask yourself, right, am I a spiritual baby? Am I going to be a spiritual baby? We have bottles in the back. I'm kidding. You know. And how can you take the assessment for yourself? You have to ask yourself questions. It's not enough for you to just sit here and say, the word of God washed over me. And I took it all. No, you know what you have to do? You have to go and ask yourself questions. Ask yourself questions to really find out, right? Ask your kids. Ask your wife. Ask your husband. Ask your friends. Be very careful about the answer that you're going to get. I don't want my phone blowing up later. So you said, we got into this big old fight, Pastor. Got to do it. Ephesians 5:21, with Jesus as the headship of that conversation. Amen. Under his covering. Not in your flesh. Well, he said, and you never do this. And not that. You act like this. No, no, no. Ephesians 5:21, both under the headship of Christ in that conversation. But if you find yourself regressing in your walk, meaning you go back to that habitual sin that you have in your life, that's not a sign of maturity. You find that your life is unstable, right? You're kind of being tossed back and forth. If you find yourself being divisive, your family and in your friends, right? That's not of God. No, sometimes we think that we can an argument for Jesus on Facebook or forget about it. That's not the place, right? You think you'd be divisive at home even sometimes. That's not of God. And the other thing is, like, are you spiritually asleep? Are you like a little baby? Spiritually asleep. Right? And that's okay, baby to be asleep. But there's a time to wake up too and do some work, amen? And then maybe ask this question to the people around you. Are you the type of Christian? And when somebody shakes you like a baby, they wake up cranky. What does a cranky baby do? He cries. Right? He or she will cry. They fuss over the little things of life. Just saying. Let's take the inventory, right? I think God is calling us into a maturity, into a calmness, into a peace. Because it's not because of what we're doing in our own life, right? That's what we have to fight against. But it's the Spirit working through us that allows us to achieve full maturity. And the biggest thing that we have to get away is we have to get out of our own way and let Jesus do the work and let the Holy Spirit do the work. You don't understand this scripture? Pray. Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. You have questions? Text me. Call brothers. Put it out there. Call your sisters, right? We want to do life together, but we need to continue to grow in purpose together. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, Lord God. Thank you for the invitation that you have on our lives, Lord God. You don't want to just leave us, Lord God, spiritual babies. You're calling us into maturity, Lord God, with you. And into an awesome and full relationship with you, Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And to have that level of intimacy with the Father that we can be one, Lord God. And I love what you tell us, Lord, in John chapter 19, in 17, you tell us that there's how much you love, Lord. That you love those that the Father has given you, that you won't let them go. And there's a oneness about your relationship with the Father, and there's a oneness with those that you have given, that you've received, Lord God. And that's us. You're calling us into maturity, Lord God, to move forward with the purpose, not to stay stuck on the bottle, but to grow. and to really ask ourselves probing questions to develop in our walk. And the first thing we have to acknowledge and repent and turn away from any kind of sin in our life, Lord. We can have nothing to do with you, Lord God, if we're living a life of sin. So, Father God, right now I just pray, Lord God, that you would bring discernment, that you would bring clarity to us, Lord God. This is an area that we need to repent and turn away from, Lord. Reveal it to us right now, Lord Jesus, and help us to surrender it to you. We won't be able to go if we're stuck on to the past. You're calling us to move forward and to grow in maturity with purpose. So, Father God, forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Forgive us, Lord God, of the things that are entangling us, Lord God, from moving forward in faith. Father God, forgive us, Lord God, if we need to just cut out things, the distractions, the things that are getting in the way of our walk with you, or our walk to know you, to serve you, Lord God, to be your hands and your feet. Help us to prune those things out. It's going to be painful, but not any more painful than the disappointment that we will see when we come to meet you and when you ask us what we did with our time and our talents and the people around us, and we said, I was just too busy. I didn't have time. Help us to prune out all these things, Lord God, that are inhibiting our walk and our growth with you. None of that matters, Lord God, except the things above, the things that you're calling us to do, Lord, for your kingdom and for your people. Give us a heart, Lord God, that hurts like your heart hurts for the lost, who are suffering. Help us to be filled with compassion and forgiveness. And help us to let go, Lord God, of the things that are inhibiting our walk. And sometimes, Lord God, what's inhibiting our growth is our inability to forgive, Lord God. Help us to put our pride aside, Lord God. Help us to surrender it at your feet. And recognize that you are God and you are King. And you gave your life, Lord God, for the forgiveness of our sins. So we can humble ourselves, Lord. And let you be the judge. Help us to forgive, Lord Jesus, the way that you've forgiven us. To achieve the full maturity, Lord God, to let go of the pain. To let go of the hurts, Lord God. And to move, Lord God, into a new phase and a new relationship with you. And help us to mend those relationships with those people that have hurt us in the past. We don't have to necessarily be best friends with those people, but Lord, you're calling us into a spiritual maturity with you. And that means that we have to learn to forgive. We have to put all those things aside, and we can live for the better part in freedom, knowing that we are forgiven and that we have forgiven those that have hurt us. Father God, bring people around us that want to encourage us in our walk. People around us that we need to teach, Lord God, the goodness of who you are. We have a movement within our church, Lord God, that in this room we have people that will help to break generational curses and sins in your name, Lord Jesus. That we'll have families, Lord, restored by your power through the work that is done by the hands and the feet of the people that are in this room. And that you will be glorified. That you will be glorified, Heavenly Father. You will be glorified, Jesus. That you will be glorified, Holy Spirit. Father God, meet us at our need. Thank you again for your word. That you want us, Lord God, to grow in maturity. To you, nothing else is better. And Father God, as we prepare right now to take communion, I want every one of us to be praying. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to ask for repentance. Your word tells us and it cautions us that we don't want to take communion and bring judgment upon ourselves. Because you tell us in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, that whoever eats and drinks of the cup of the Lord in a manner that is unworthy will be guilty of sinning against the body. And so we ought to examine ourselves, bread and drink of the cup. Because if we eat and drink of the cup of the eat and drink without discerning the body, we bring judgment upon ourselves. Father God, I'm just say, quiet for a moment. Because we want to ask for forgiveness, Lord God. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for what you did on the cross, Lord God. Thank you for the atonement of our sins. You gave this final instruction to your disciples, Lord God, before you're crucified, as a reminder of what it cost you. Before you came, Lord Jesus, sacrifices had to be made all the time, Lord God, for the forgiveness of sin, because it's costly. Lord, you gave it all for the forgiveness as a perfect lamb, Lord God. The forgiveness of all sins throughout all time, including our own. On the cross, Lord God, you endured our shame, our guilt. I also know that the cross is where your love was laid out for me. So, Lord Jesus, thank you again for your love for us. Thank you for making a way to be known by the Father, by our faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. We don't take communion lightly because we know what it costs you, Lord Jesus. It costs you everything. Thank you again for your goodness, Lord. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread. When we had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, thank you again for your love for us. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins, Lord God. Thank you for giving us life. Not only life eternal, but life today. Thank you for your goodness again, Lord. You're going to minister to our hearts. You protect our family. Lord, we bind up any attacks against our family, Lord God. Any threats, any efforts that the enemy has against our family, Lord God. Lord, rebuke them in your name, Lord Jesus. We claim victory, Lord God. In your name. Thank you for your goodness. Watch over us, guide us, and keep us safe, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.